My name is Mike Shuka, and I don't care how you spell it, everybody gets it wrong anyway. In writing, especially when you're writing autobiographical stuff, there's a feeling, to begin with, at least for me there was, that who's going to be interested in this stuff? And so sometimes you just experiment to see what happens, and with this particular essay, I experimented with imaginary conversations or dialogue. You're going to have to try to imagine two people talking, one not much. So, the man says, are you a talker or a listener? Well, that one required a bit of thought. I felt pressure to respond within a reasonable amount of time. If I hesitated too long, you would probably feel obligated to relieve my obvious reluctance to speak with a different question or switch to another subject to which I had given no previous consideration. I didn't draw a blank, but neither did I wish to babble nonsense, so I had to reorient my thoughts. I'm thinking, I said, just buying time to arrange a few thoughts I had quickly considered. I had been at different times both. It took a few decades to understand that and to sort of understand why. Well, at least to come to recognize several factors which may have played a part. All through my youth and early adulthood, I was a talker. One possible factor was that I learned in the first grade that I could say things which gained adult attention and approval. Eliciting a smile or a laugh by saying something unexpected or outright amusing was evidently an exception from my stepfather's dictum that children were to be seen and not heard. I hesitated, then added, he wasn't a martinet. I think the childish prattle of my brothers and me just got to be a bit much for him at the end of a workday, and he needed a break from boys babbling on. We likewise had to learn to never interrupt adults already engaged in conversation. Intentionally or not, the general impression I gained was that kid talk was not as important as adult conversation, and was, mostly, not important at all. Children were to be silent receptacles for whatever thoughts with which adults wished to stuff them, but attempting to press adults to recognize affairs of importance to children would be considered cheeky and an invitation to punishment. At some point, I came to the conclusion that adults had all entirely forgotten what it was to be a child, and at that moment, I vowed to myself to never forget. Well, he said, well, what? Did you forget? I sighed. The question had touched a sore spot, a sore point of regret and despair for me. Well, I said slowly, I think I may have remembered more than most people did upon reaching adulthood, but yes, the further childhood fell behind me, the more I forgot. But some things I never did let go of. For instance, I taught my grandkids how to pillow fight, and I hope I set a good example for my kids as parents. If it wasn't too undignified for an old fool of a granddad, surely our grandkids' parents could see no humiliation in following suit. And I think they did. Follow suit, that is. Although I can't recite any particular circumstances. We both were silent for a moment, considering what I had just said. Well, the man said, that sounds like a time when you were still the talker, even though you didn't actually verbalize much. Agreed. Much worse, though, were the times when, as a young adult, I was so anxious to espouse my point of view that I interrupted and even talked over people. I was so rude I can scarcely believe it myself, but there it is. And I still don't know why. The only part I've sort of analyzed is that I had serious security issues and adjustment issues, and such a difficult time reconciling all that I thought I knew about how the world worked. I didn't want to trade in old thoughts for new, but reality kept knocking on my head. Maybe I just had to press points to maintain an unfragmented sense of self, to keep up the pretense for my own sake that I still knew myself. A short silence. Then, and did you know yourself? Well, yes, sort of. I mean, I was in transition without recognizing that fact, so I also didn't recognize exactly what views were changing for me, and certainly not at all that I have an inkling about how these changing views would mature and into what principles they might harden. Maybe a lot of the rudeness was forced by desperation to see how others would react when the thought was aired. May I ask What was the source of this apparently philosophical upheaval that you were so desperate to settle in your own mind? Mostly, no, probably entirely, it had to do with being in a relationship, the nature of which I had no previous experience, and all my preconceptions were seriously flawed. I got married when I was not in any way prepared for such a serious, powerful relationship. My factual notions were really limited. And even though I recognized that precepts based on the male chauvinist atmosphere in which I was raised were specious, still I held to them. Now they seem disgusting and ludicrous, but letting go was like watching the foundations of your house being removed piece by piece. You will laugh, or at least see how ridiculous I was then. Here's what I thought I knew about marriage. Married people had sex. As often as they liked, and I assumed with no impediments they naturally liked a lot. I thought. Wives were sort of like glorified domestic servants with benefits. It took a while to understand that most of the benefits accrued to the husband. The husband was king of the castle, which was wherever he laid his head at night. The natural order of things decreed men to be superior to women. No evidence or justification required. Parenting was primarily a task for women, as evidenced by my older, wiser brother told me. The fact that women had a special gene that made them immune to the consequences of opening a poopy diaper. Even I knew that wasn't true. Still, I rather wanted it to be. I had no clue about how much is ordinarily shared between spouses. I rather assumed that when girlfriends or fiancés became wives, some magical transition occurred, at which point the husband would somehow understand why it was best to not share too much. I knew from experience with my own mother that this was so. I guess that wives, unlike girlfriends, didn't want to know the boring details of their husbands' lives away from them. So when we got married, I basically stopped talking to my wife. Truthfully, I still don't understand what was wrong with me entirely, but I do understand, what I do understand is plenty to chew on for the rest of my days. Have you had professional help? No, couldn't afford it. Although we did have a little help a few years into our marriage, separately and together, though not much of either, and I'm not sure it helped. Eventually, we got involved with Marriage Encounter, and that was the beginning of a turnaround for our marriage and our lives. So, what changed? I started to listen.